none but Zion's children know. Do you know it? And I know most of you do, and I thank God for that. That we know it, hallelujah, the sweetness of that. And you know, I'm blessed, and I, in some ways, I'm kind of sad it's Thursday already. God's blessing my heart. And I don't get the opportunity to be in a setting where I have, and actually most of us don't probably, in a setting where we have a whole week. And we get to pray, we listen to the Word of God, and we get to meditate in the Word of God, and we get to talk to others, and it's blessing my heart, and I'm being very blessed and challenged, and God's stirring, and I trust He's doing the same in yours. What a thrill. What a joy to walk this Christian life, have God speak to us and we speak to Him and He changes us. And how many of you are putting effort into your booklets? Are most of you? Thank you. Bless you for that. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you for your attentiveness, for giving me your attention. I trust it's giving the Word of God your attention. Thank you for that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. It excites me the potential that is, you know, sometimes I could say it this way. It excites me the potential sometimes as I look at my one little life, Mickey Brubaker, the potential that God has in one little life that excites me. Well, let's times it by 210 or 14. That's exciting to me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. Goodness in conviction. Goodness in speaking to us and showing us. Goodness in setting us free then and empowering us and your goodness and love for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. God, in your mercy again, we ask you to speak to us again, whether it's blessing, comfort, conviction, whether there's need for repentance. You know, God, you call repentance a gift. And it hurts us sometimes, and it's hard for us, but you see the way it really is, and you call it a gift. And so, Father, we come asking for whatever gifts you want to give to us, whether they hurt or whether they feel good. Either way, whatever gifts we need, Father, we ask from you. Even today. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of getting to be here in this atmosphere. And thank you for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And Lord, if some of them aren't brothers and some of them aren't sisters, oh, weigh it heavily on their hearts. We love you, Lord. Please speak to us this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. I'll give you your title and your subtitle, but let's read these couple verses here first. Very simple this morning. I'm going to share a very simple principle. And I already heard it from some of your mouths about this principle that you feel like there's some need. And so I thought about it. Well, maybe if you're already sensing some need and some of you are already sensing it, you don't really need me to share it. But I decided to go ahead and share it. It was a very, very life-changing principle to me. And maybe I can share a couple applications that might stir you on. It's my prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. In the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "And when thou prayest," he had talked about alms and he's going through and talking about different subjects. And now he's going to talk about prayer and he says, "And when thou prayest," in verse 5, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Don't be like the hypocrites. We heard about that yesterday, right? Don't be like the hypocrites. Let's not be hypocrites. "For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So when you pray, don't do it like this. And bow your head and pray. Most of us won't do that outwardly. We all know not to do that. But I know the temptation in my heart to kind of wish somebody would see me. I wish somebody'd know what I did. Or I think we know those temptations. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. That's a hypocrite. Don't do that. He says, "But thou, When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, down where nobody sees you. Enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and praise God, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Thy Father which seeth in secret. This morning, the title, you have my little booklet open, the title is Alone with God. Alone with God. And the principle this morning, for your subtitle, the principle of quality closet time. Three words. The principle of quality closet time. Do you remember that little illustration I gave when I got home from Bible school and I went up into my room and fell on my face and said, God, make this place a sanctuary. Remember that little illustration? We need that. You need a sanctuary somewhere in your life. You call it a sanctuary. Here Jesus calls it a closet. We need a place in our life where we can go and we can close the door. And then I'm alone. That's the reason for the word closet, is it not? Alone. And I'd like to just emphasize just a little bit the three words, the principle of quality, closet, time. Most of us have probably heard or been stimulated or in some way encouraged to have what is many times termed a quiet time. And so I put that little word quality in there because I know the tendency. If you've heard this little word quiet time ever since you grew up and your parents did it, or maybe your big brothers and sisters did it, and so you just know that's the thing to do. And so you get your Bible reading and you read your Bibles and you pray a short prayer and you get up and you go on and you say you had your closet time. Well, that's why I stuck the word quality in there. Quality closet time. And I'm an advocate very strongly of quiet time, if you want to call it that. Basically, I'm going to say the same thing, but I'm going to say a little different words because I want to emphasize quality. You're supposed to go into that closet and pray to your Father, which seeth in secret. There's praying and there's seeing. And we'll go on and we'll see there's speaking to be happening both ways. And if you do something in a mundane, with a mundane heart, it doesn't tend to be quality. So I emphasize quality. I'm also going to emphasize closet or alone. Remember? Closet or alone. I just heard the other day, there's a dear brother that I respect highly, and I asked him to pray for me because of my respect for him. He has this little teeny tiny place that's only, I'm not sure if it's 3 foot, 4 foot, something like this, by 6 foot. And he crawls into it and it's out in a little barn and he crawls into it and he prays. That works. I think it was just a tool bench or something. He kind of enclosed it. I honestly am not sure if it's for heat or why, but he enclosed this little tunnel. And he crawls in there and he prays. That works for a closet. But have it quality. And find a closet. There's blessing. And I think you can have your closet sitting at the dining room table in your house. That's possible. Maybe I'm a little different than some. I find my quality is harder to keep up in such a public place, even if there's not many people around. And so I'm going to emphasize, I think Jesus says, go into your closet, a real closet, and shut your door. It reminds me one time in some of my pursuit of God, we traveled. With my parents, we traveled. And we were going to stay at my grandparents' house, actually. And as we went, I said, Lord, and I knew I'd end up in the same room with my brothers, and this house is full of people, and I'm sure maybe some of you are experiencing that this weekend, or this week. And I knew it was going to be full, and I prayed, Lord, can you please give me somewhere to go so I can have some alone time? I don't want to be there and stay as we travel for these days and not have some time alone with God. And I don't know how earnestly I prayed for it. But I knew it was on my heart, and we got to this little place. We got to where we're going to stay, and so all me and my two brothers, we all went into the same room, and we're all in this room. And I looked around. I thought, okay, so where's my spot going to be tomorrow morning? And I looked on this side of the room, and there's a door. And I looked on this side of our bedroom, and there was a door on this side. So I went over and thought, well, you know, so many times closets just have clothes and boxes and whatever, but I'll try it. And I opened up one door, and this closet was this big, and on top of it all, it even had a light in there. And I went over to the other side, and the closet was this big, and it had a light in there too. I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't need two, but you gave me abundantly above what I needed. I found a closet. Find a closet. And then quality closet time. Spend time. Time. Not just 2-3 minutes. Not just 5-10 minutes. As you mature, spend time there. I like this little picture stuck out to me. Let me just read John 16:12-13. You don't need to turn there. Let me just read it to you. I have yet many things to say unto you, Jesus says, but ye cannot bear them now. Verse 13 of John 16. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you of things to come. Jesus said, I have many things to share with you, but I'm not going to share them all now. I'll share them later. And where do you think is one of the ways He shares them? I think it's with this in your closet. And it dawned on me one day as I was reading, I think it was Andrew Murray's book, and he talked about our teacher. The Spirit of God wants to be our teacher as we meditate on the Word of God and as we read. He wants to be our teacher. And I just got to thinking about it, and I was stirred by it. And the next morning I got up and I realized, my teacher's waiting for me. And I realize God teaches us through life and in much more, not just in the closet. He wants to teach us all through life, not just in the closet. But I realized, and I put this little picture in my mind, and it blessed me. I have a teacher, and he's in the closet over there. And I'm laying in bed, and my alarm clock goes off. And where's my teacher? He's waiting for me. And I'm laying in bed, and my alarm clock goes off. And I woke up that morning. It was fresh on my heart from the day before. And I realized, my teacher's waiting for me. And my dear brothers and sisters, this teacher is no ordinary teacher. This is the Spirit of the living God. Wants to speak to little Mickey Brubaker. And so, I was out of bed. You think I had time to piddle? My teacher's waiting for me. I didn't have time to piddle. And I got up, and actually the closet I had then, I had to walk a little ways at that time. And I had to get up, got dressed, got ready what I needed, grabbed my Bible and started walking to the place where I was going. And I was walking down the hall, nearing the door that was my little closet. I remember thinking, as I grabbed the doorknob, my teacher's waiting inside here for me. And I grabbed that doorknob, and remember who this teacher is, no small teacher. And I open the door, walk in, and I close it. And I get down on my knees, and with that attitude of reverence, that attitude of awe, I got on my knees with this in front of me. And I started to read, and I said, Lord, teach me. Teach me what this means. Teach me how to live my life. I have a lot of things to accomplish today. But I got up, Lord, and I'm in my closet over here, Lord, and I need something. You know, you don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to do it like this. But there's something of a blessing on my heart if I do it like this, at least for a while, until my knees start to ache so bad it distracts me, and then change position, and then whatever, maybe walking if you need to for sleepiness. But there's something of a bowed knee that blesses my own heart. We need to come with a bowed heart, with that kind of reverence, and realize our teacher wants to teach us this morning. Isn't that exciting? The living God of the universe wants to teach me and speak to me from this to my heart and to my life. I'd like to share 4 little different snapshots of God's heart, and then give some practical application. 4 little different snapshots that have been a blessing to me at God's heart for teaching, connecting with me. And the first one is very simple. It's in Genesis. You know this one. We all know them all, probably. Genesis chapter 3, just a quick snapshot here. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. Who's they? Who's they?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, thank you. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it almost seems, if we read it all in the context, it almost seems as if this is what God did. He walked in the cool of the day and he came to walk with Adam and Eve. And it says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And they hid themselves, and we all know why. Why? Sin. Because of sin. And so they hid themselves. But praise God, even if there's sin in your life, He won't give up on you. He's searching. Okay, there comes a time when God, if you push Him away too many times and too much, He might leave you alone. But if you feel your heart stirring and there's sin in there, don't remember, He's pursuing you. And God came and He walked in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve fled. But God didn't just step back and say, well, I guess they don't want to be with me. And that's it. They don't want to be with me, so... And the Lord God, verse 9, not only come and walk, but He took another step. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? It thrills my heart. Is it possible that in the mornings, and it doesn't have to be morning, whatever the opportunity that rises, and you have time to seek God, but I'm just giving the picture of in the morning, and you somehow hit the snooze, or you somehow didn't wake up, and God is saying, Adam, where are you? Adam! Or it's Alan, it's Brody, it's whoever you are, Samuel, where are you? And God's looking. Why? He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day, as it was here in the garden. This little snapshot blesses me. It also challenges me. And that thought rings in my heart, and it rings and it rings. Mickey, where are you? I don't want God to have to cry out, Mickey, where are you? I don't want Him to have to do that. But I thank God that He has. And He's come and He's sought me when I've been hiding over here. I've been skirting this closet time. I've been skirting what He wants to say to me, but I'm thankful for this little snapshot that we get of God calling out your name. I wish I could call out each one of your names. Suzanne! I don't even know if there's a Suzanne here. Where are you? And He's calling for you. That should thrill your heart. Oh, it should make you weep if you're skirting Him. But it should thrill your heart. He wants to walk with us. Snapshot number two. Exodus. Exodus 29. Exodus chapter 29, verse... I'm just jumping in the middle here. There is, if you want to dive into this more, what I'm going to try to do here with this little snapshot is I'm not going to near get the depths and the beauty that is in this. So I'm just going to touch the surface. But I'm hoping to whet your appetite a little bit. And if your appetite's wet, then you're going to need to read quite a bit in Exodus, and you're going to need to read Hebrews 9 and 10. But if this, but just for a little picture here, Exodus 29 verse 42. And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Just jumping right in the middle here. Just keep going with me. Where I will speak, well, I will meet you to speak there unto thee. God is talking and He's saying, this place, this tabernacle that I've had you build, Moses, this tabernacle, this place, I will meet you there. Verse 43, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Verse 46, and they shall know that I am the Lord God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. God speaking, the children of Israel will know that I'm their God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Turn to Hebrews 9. We'll pull a couple verses out of there about this tabernacle. And you'll see what I mean. Just bear with me here. I'm going to give you an illustration here on the board to help you see it. Maybe many of you know this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. But in the second... Okay, now we're talking about this tabernacle. I guess I do need to draw this first here. I want to just give you a little illustration of what this tabernacle was like. They put goat skins all around here. And there was one door. Praise God, one door into this tabernacle. But remember, this is in the setting of meeting with God, okay? We'll get back to that, but I need to draw this here just a little bit. Right here, when you first walked into the tabernacle that Moses built, and sorry, I should maybe make my proportions a little better. Well, I'm just going to do it here. When you first walked into that door, the very first thing you met with was the altar. Now, young people, if you're going to meet with God, the first thing you're going to have to meet with is the altar. And on that altar, a lamb was slain. And praise God, we all know that our lamb has been slain. And so we're gonna see on this altar, this altar here, we must have blood applied. It must be through the Lord Jesus. After we get to that altar, there's a laver. And that has water in it. And there's water there for washing. And we find the principle of the Spirit of God here, and the Spirit of God washing us and being sprinkled upon us and empowering us. And then after that, we have in here, we have the holy place. This here is the holy place, and this was curtained all off, all sides, top included. And in the holy place, on the right hand side, if you walked in, you'd find a table with some shewbread on it. There'd be some bread over here on your right. And if you looked over here to your left, you'd find a candlestick. Over here on your left. And if you look straight ahead, there would be a little altar of incense. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. There would be an altar of incense. And these three things are beautiful. And I would just encourage you to dig into these and see the beauty that these typify in our New Testament reality. And then when you go on in, this is the holy place. This right here is the most holy, or the holy of holies. And in here was the ark that had the cherubims over it. And their wings touched, and a cherubim over here, and the ark was below their wings. And this here was the most holy place. This is a little picture of the tabernacle. And God said, here, I'll meet with you. And we all know, we could turn to the verses, I'm not going to here this morning. We all know that God, when they finished this, God looked at this and He said, it's beautiful. And His cloud came and it settled down over this. And Moses one time went in and met with Him, but another time it said the cloud was so strong, and the presence of God was so strong, even Moses couldn't enter in. Why? Because God was there. Hebrews chapter 9 now. I hope you're still open there. Verse 7. Now these things, verse 6, back to verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, and again, you need to read all of 9 and 10. But now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. The priest went in here to this first tabernacle. Always. And every day. He was there to make sure the fires were going, The incense was there, the light was there, the incense was there, the bread was there. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. But in here, one time every year. And this is similar to the tabernacle that was built, Solomon's temple. I'm sorry, the temple that was built later. And there were similarities in the way it was laid out. It was the outer court, it was the holy place, and then the holy of holies. And there was more to the temple, but this is just for a basic overview. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. So he never entered here without some blood on the altar. He didn't dare enter. the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all, the most holy, was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So while this tabernacle, or even the temple, was yet standing, it was clear there was a big curtain across here. And this big curtain showed to the people, it's clear, you may not enter into here. The high priest only entered once every year. And that, not without blood. The holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure, an example for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. And it goes on there, and we can get a lot out of that. But God's showing to us that this place wasn't open to just anyone to go in just any time. Once a year, the high priest went in there. But Luke 23:45, just for the sake of time, Luke 23:45, it says, it's the end of Jesus' life and the sun was darkened. And young people, you know what happened. The veil of the temple was rent in the midst. This veil that separated everyone from entering in here. I don't know how it happened. Yes, we do know how it happened. It was a miracle of God. But God, as Jesus was there on the cross and He died, the veil of this temple was rent right down the middle. Hallelujah! And the way was made for mankind to enter in to their closet and meet with God. Having therefore, brethren, Hebrews 10:19-20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Not just the holy, but the holiest. And there's beautiful types here. Again, I hope you dig into this and see the beautiful types that are available here. Having therefore, having therefore, brethren, Hebrews 10:19, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And it goes on. But I just want us just to realize, with boldness, and oh, we need to do it with awe and with reverence. Not a rash boldness, but a boldness that has an awe that settles over its heart. As we enter into our closet and realizing, I'm entering into a place that no man dare enter with sin. And as I told a brother yesterday, it was Brother Allen, I believe in sinless perfection. I cannot be here unless I'm washed totally clean and sinless. I cannot. God will not have sin. For me to be in here, I must be clean. But He's made a way through Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Hallelujah. Young people, learn the privilege, the principle of quality closet time with God. You must learn it. Snapshot number 3. Exodus again. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. Okay, we still have the tabernacle here. And he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation. Everyone that sought the Lord went where? The tabernacle of the congregation. Did they go in here? They didn't. They weren't allowed in there. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle. Praise God, there's something beautiful about Moses here. I don't know why, but it seemed many times God gave some of those Old Testament godly saints a stance almost as beautiful. Sometimes you wonder if even more beautiful than the New Testament believer. He allowed them to have a foretaste of this New Testament life. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up. And they stood every man at his door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And they watched. Moses has gone in. And you know, it doesn't say, maybe he stayed out here too. If I'm not mistaken, it doesn't say where he for sure was. And all the people saw, Okay, I'm sorry, I'm jumping some here. I get lost, I want to make a comment and I lose my place in the verse. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. That should be an awesome thing to us. And I mean awesome. It should be awe-filling. God talked with Moses. And all the people saw, verse 10, the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, and every man went in his tent. Worshipped every man in his tent door as they were watching Moses. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. I want that, don't you? God speaking with me and me speaking with God. In your closet. And he turned, the middle of verse 11, and he turned again into the camp. And then here's the punchline that I want you to get. And maybe some of you have read this. This blessed me so much years ago. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Did you get that? It doesn't say that Joshua entered in, but obviously he did because he didn't come out, it says. I want you to get that little picture. Moses is the central figure here. And the people stood to watch Moses, not Joshua, Moses. And Moses went in, but we get a little glimpse and we realize there was one very blessed young man that got an opportunity of a lifetime. And he got to walk with the most godly man on planet Earth. And walk into the tabernacle. And somehow he saw a glimpse. I don't know what he got to saw. But he got to see the living God of the universe talking with this man Moses. As with a friend face to face. And that young man Joshua got to see something. And when God was done talking with Moses, Moses needed to go out. And he needed to talk to the people. And he needed to say to the people, thus saith the Lord. But where did the young man stay? In there. In the tabernacle. Young people. I'm still a young person too. And so I look at that and I say, God, I see godly men. And I've had the privilege, and I hope you have had the privilege too, to walk close enough with some godly men and to watch them as they communicate with God and they walk through life with God, and even watch them a little bit in their closet if they'll take you under their wing a little bit. Spend a little time in prayer with them. And you watch God and a man relate. I want to challenge you this morning. If you've had that privilege or you have it, either way, learn to do what Joshua did and depart not out of the tabernacle. Stay in. The old men need to go out and lead the people. And the old men need to go out and give direction. But the young man stayed in there. I don't know what was on the heart of Joshua. I'm not sure what motivated him. There's a chance as Joshua looked ahead, he knew, I'm going to be responsible like Moses is someday. Someday all this responsibility that is on the shoulders of this godly man Moses may rest upon mine. And he found his heart burdened and hungry. And he knew, I just need to stay right in here. Because I need God. I need God to speak to me. I need God to conform me to His image. Oh, don't underestimate the value of departing not out of the tabernacle. Don't underestimate the value of quality closet time. Maybe Joshua, as he knelt there on his knees, maybe he looked ahead and he knew, there's a lot of enemies I'm going to face. There's a lot of land to conquer. And I can't do it of myself. And I need God. And so he said, I'm staying right here. And he departed. Not. I don't know when he came out. Maybe he came out 5 minutes later. Maybe he came out 5 hours later. I don't know. It doesn't say. But the picture we have, this little snapshot, is a young man who knew, who got the glorious glimpse of God and a man communicating. And Moses walked out. And Joshua departed not. Oh, would to God it could be said of me. And Mickey departed not. I strove for that. More. It was an earnest cry of my heart. More when I had more time. When I have children. And when you have other responsibilities they pull, and they're godly and right, and it would be wrong for me to stay in here too long if my children are out there and I need to be with them. But especially when you don't have those kind of responsibilities, oh, young people, grab it with both of your hands and depart not out of the tabernacle and follow in the footsteps of Joshua. And we're going to get a little more practical, and I'm going to share with you some ways. Okay, we need to move on. Depart not out of the tabernacle. One last glimpse. Number four. Snapshot number four. Luke 21. And this is a very simple one also. Luke 21, verse 37. I'm sorry. I'm in John. That doesn't work. Luke 21. Verse 37. And in the daytime, he, Jesus, was teaching in the temple, and at the night, he went out and abode in the mount that was called the Mount of Olives. I'm sorry. That's not quite the verse I was looking for. If you would cross-reference that one. In another one of the epistles, it talks about the same thing. And it says, he went up at night to pray in the mountain. And the day he was preaching and at night, he was praying in the mountain. It says he abode there. I don't see the word actually pray here. I think I must have chosen the wrong one. But there are other texts that say the very same thing, except it'll say clearly the word pray. So here's our Lord Jesus. As he walked on the earth, he knew about this closet life. And he knew the value of closet life. Or maybe we should call it mountain life. That's fine. I don't care what you call it. Same principle. The Lord Jesus went up into a mountain. Why? Alone. Alone with God. He did the same thing that Joshua did. He did the same thing that Moses did. He did the same thing that is one of the calls of you and my life, and that is meeting with God personally. Quality closet time. I can erase this, right? You go. There are lots and lots of ways to study that out. If you didn't get that down and want to, you go study that out and get a lot more out of it. I'm going to write here, standard, just for short. And the standard view of quality of closet time. And maybe I shouldn't name it standard. I'm sure there'd be a better name. Bear with me with that. But I'm going to leave it at that for now. Is right here, we have the Word. And God speaks to us through the Word of God. And here we have prayer. And we speak to God through prayer. And that is a very beautiful view. And it's a standard view, and it's a very beautiful view. God speaks to us through the Word of God, and we speak to God through prayer. I'd like to put just something else up on here, and you know what? I have a title for that, but I'm scared to put the title because it might not be balanced. And it might take away, so I'm not even going to title this one. But it looks like this. This is the Word, and this is prayer. Do you see the difference? And again, I'm not shooting this down. This is a very good foundation. But I want to emphasize something here today. When we enter the closet, to learn how to use the Word of God, that it just doesn't just go this way, but it also creates a relationship this way. And when we come to God in prayer, it's not only me praying to God, but we learn how to listen and God speaks to me. And I realize all this needs to be on the foundation of the Word of God, but there's something beautiful in that principle. As that principle began opening up to me, and I wanted to be a Joshua, and I found my way into the closet, and I sought God. Okay, I'm just going to leave that there, and we're going to come back to that. I'm going to share just, and I don't have these all lined out, point one, two, three, four, but I'm going to share some very practical things about quality closet time. Please set daily doable goals in Bible reading and prayer. Do that, please. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in the picture, and our emotions can get caught up, and mine do get caught up in these beautiful pictures, these four little snapshots that we could have gotten more out of, but we just went over quickly. Four little snapshots, and we can get excited about it, and you know what, tomorrow morning, and then we kind of get excited about tomorrow morning, and that's beautiful, but with patience, walk on. It takes a lot of continued patience in life, and setting doable daily goals. And I trust many of you do this. Set doable daily goals. I recommend spending a little time in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Read through this. If you've never read through it, set it your goal to read through this. It's not difficult to read through the Word of God in a year. We need to know this book. And just to put it real bluntly, you know, old illustration, if the president sent you a letter and you just told him, "I'm sorry, I didn't have time to read it," how foolish that would be. Well, young people, someone far, far greater than the president sent you a letter, and I realize it's long and it might look daunting, but read it. It's the Word of God, and read it all. Set doable goals. I remember this little quote, and this is a quote. And I heard it. So this is written down by me. This is not the exact words. This is the spirit of what I heard. "Oh, brother, there's a sweetness that has come over my soul by slowly reading over the Word of God for 2 hours every day. I no longer have to search for messages to preach to the congregation. I have to decide which one to preach. I've been going through the whole New Testament every month for a few months now, and the fragrance just lingers, continues to linger over my soul." When I heard Brother Denny say that, something in my heart rose to a little challenge. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't spend 2 hours a day in this. I don't. My days, I don't spend 2 hours. But I know a little bit of that sweetness. And I hope someday to be able to do it for a length of time and spend a couple of hours a day. Someday I hope to get to do that. Don't think it's quite right for me right yet. But when I heard that, as a younger man than I am now, unmarried, heart hungering for God, wanting godliness, when I heard that, I hurried home. And I went up into my room and I turned to the back of my Bible and I looked at Revelations. My Bible starts numbering the Old Testament pages and the New Testament pages different. And I went to the back. I went back here, and maybe yours don't have page numbers, but mine did. And it said, this is a different Bible. It said 289. It said 289. I did some quick math. All right. 289 divided by 10 is 28.9. That's 29 days. If I read 10 pages a day, I can get through it in a month. And with joy and excitement, I marked off, okay, 0 to, or 1 to 10, and then it was 10 to 20. And so each morning I opened the Word of God and I started to read. And I didn't spend 2 hours at it, but I started reading. And in a month, you get through the New Testament. And you start over, and in another month, you get through the New Testament. And you can take a theme, a particular verse, and it takes time. And maybe some of you, you can't have that right now. And yet, if you can't have it now, I'm not sure when you're going to get it. And I started reading like that. And I started taking a topic. And I started every morning, I had this, my paper. And I knew my topic at one month was humility. And I'd write down all the verses I could find about humility as I went through the New Testament. And I meditated on them. And then I took another topic. And I wrote it at the top of my paper. And then I wrote down the verses. And you end up with it influences you. It influences your heart. It influences your life. As you get on your knees and you have the Word of God with you and you read and you read and you say, "God, what does this mean to me and how does this apply to me?" And you read. It influences you. And I know you know that. I'm just trying to emphasize it. Use prayer lists. And I would encourage you to use different kinds of prayer lists. Not just lists of people. Do it topically also. There are many, many different people's encouragements. Yes, prayer lists of people. Also, divide your prayer time sometimes and put thanksgiving. Or you could put worship, thanksgiving. Then you put searching your own heart. Then you put, there's all sorts of different things. And you put 5 different topics, searching your own heart, and then praying for your own needs in your life. And then praying for your family, and then whatever. And, you know, you do topically, change some. I found that to be a blessing. I remember the first time, another one is praying through the, and I should have numbered these here, but praying through the Lord's Prayer. That has blessed me tremendously. I remember Brother Denny challenged us with that years ago. I listened to it on a tape. He might have preached in the 90s. A house of prayer, maybe it was. I'm not sure. A house of prayer. Think something like that. They still have it there in the tape ministry. I listened to that and he challenged us. You've probably heard this, but the Lord's Prayer can be divided up 6 different ways. And if you take 10 minutes on each way, you can pray for an hour. And the first time I heard that, I thought, wow, I've never prayed for an hour. And when I got the chance, might have been after Bible. I know it wasn't after Bible school because I listened to this on a tape in the middle of I don't know when. And the next morning, I set my alarm clock, 5:00. And it went off. And it was, I think it was, for some reason, I'm thinking it was fall. Because it was a little chilly. And I got out of bed. I was in the same room with my brothers. And so I was kind of desperate. So I grabbed the blanket off my bed. I grabbed my Bible. And I went outside the door, over to our van. We had a Chevy Astro. Opened the door, climbed in, closed the door. It was kind of chilly. Wrapped the blanket around me. And I opened my Bible. And I said, all right, Lord. I don't know how to do this. But I've been challenged and I've been excited, Lord, and I don't know how to do this, but here I go. And I open my Bible. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Section number 1. And I said, all right, Lord, I looked at my watch. All right. That's right. It was 5:00 when I sat down. So I must have got up at 4:50 or whatever. And 5:00. All right. I have till 5:10. So I started praying, Father, hallowed be your name. Thank you for being my Father. And I started trying to praise God and worship God. And I look at my watch, 5:04, a long ways to go. So I started praying and I meditated, tried to find some scriptures and I praised. I think I sang a song or two. That's what I did to fill that first slot of 10 minutes. And I sang a song or two and that helped. And I used the words of the song to worship God. All right, 5:10. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. May thy kingdom come. And oh my, that one, you can pray about a lot of things. And I started praying. And this was an exercise, okay? It was an exercise. It was hard for me. I've never done such a thing in my life. And I look and 5:13. And these times I don't remember exactly, but you get the picture. I know I did that. 5:13. Ooh, had a ways to go. And so I started praying again. And then I took the next section and I went through it. And you know, it might seem a little childish. It would have looked a little bit like a little toddler trying to, I don't know what, trying to do something big and wear his daddy's shoes maybe. And he's trying to walk and it just keeps falling down. And I was very immature and I didn't know how to do it. But you know what? When I got done, God in His mercy, He blessed my little heart. And I felt a blessing and it excited me. And I wanted to do it again. Yeah, Lord, I did it. An hour in prayer. Quality closet time. I don't have time to mention Bible study. I would encourage you to learn how to study the Bible, not just read. We talked about reading it a little bit. Learn how to study it. There's a tape by Brother Denny and there's a tape by Brother Ross Ulrich in the tape ministry called How to Study the Bible. Get them and listen to it. Very, very good. Some practical teaching on how to study the Bible. If you want motivated, encouraged, and some very practical how to do's, an excellent messages that blessed me. How to study? We need to study it, tear it apart, and look at verses and chapters and how they go together, and what the titles are, and what these group of verses mean, and what's the heart of God in this, and what does it mean to my life, and how do I need to change my life, and then you can take a topic and search through the scriptures and find out what true biblical joy, as Brother Allen has lifted up, what's true biblical joy, and study this to find the heart of God. Okay, and I want to lift up this principle also. I want to talk about that just a little bit more. I encouraged Bible study. I encouraged already set daily doable goals, but I'm going to encourage something else. Set maybe a time, not so much an amount, but a time, and open your Bible and try to begin to allow God to speak through to you through the Word, and you speak to God through the Word. And allow the Word of God to become a prayer to you that you pray to God. And allow God to speak to you through the Word. And it becomes both ways. Let me just give you an example. We could open anywhere. did this with 1 Peter a while back. And you don't get through, I frequently only get through a verse or two or three or four. Some of them you can go quicker, but it takes a long time if you open up and you say, "All right, Lord, here I am." And I actually like to do a lot of this walking, and I'll put I like to put my Bible somewhere where I can see it when I'm walking, so I can go back and get the verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was an apostle, Lord. He was a sent one. He got to be with you. You sent him out to serve, and God, help me to find my place. Help me to be what you want me to be. It was clear to Peter what you wanted him, and just start praying. An apostle of Jesus Christ. Lord, make me an apostle. And he was sent as an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers. And I'm going way too fast here. Take time and ruminate and meditate on the Word of God. A stranger, Lord. Am I a stranger? Do I live like a stranger, or am I caught up in this world? Lord, what do I? God, what is possible in my life that's caught up in this life? And I'm acting like a citizen rather than a stranger of this world. And you think about it, and you pray about it, and you ask God about it. And on your fifth or sixth turn as you walk around, if you're anything like me, and you come past, again, on your knees, I already shared that too. You come past strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And, you know, I would encourage you in this time, don't go get a map and flip to a map and figure those out. There's a godly place, time, and do that. But, Lord, there were strangers scattered around, and they were in these different countries. But they were scattered around, and they loved you. And they were the people of God. And help me to be one of these people of God down through the ages. And elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God, you know, long before I knew everything, you knew everything. Thank you, Father. You have foreknowledge. You know what's going to happen to me today, and so I can trust you. And you know what's going to happen to me tomorrow, so I trust you. But Lord, just because you know, that doesn't mean you're the one that's the author of sin, and thus you're going to cause me to sin. So help me, Lord, in your foreknowledge, though. God, help me, give me grace as I walk into the day. And just pray. Use the Word of God to guide your prayer. But if you have a set amount of chapters, which I believe in doing, but if you do only that, set amount of chapters, you can't do that. You have to keep going. Unless you have a lot of time. Okay, is that enough to give you a picture? Pray the Word of God. Keep going through it. A phrase at a time, a word at a time, a verse at a time, and pray it. And God, what does that mean to me? How should I live that out? What are you saying to me? When you come before God into this holy place, I guess I erased it already. Realize, young people, I want you to realize that veil has been rent. Okay, remember those four little snapshots. The veil has been rent. And God is calling your name, and He's calling my name, and He's saying, "Where are you? Where are you? Come. Come meet with me. I've made provision. I've rent the veil. I want to walk with you in the cool of the day. I want you to remain in there like Joshua did. I want to talk with you face to face like I did with Moses and Jesus, our perfect example." He went and he was alone. Young people, you need this. You need this. You need the Word of God to have time in the Word of God. You need time to pour out your heart before God. You need time to meditate on your life. You need time to meditate on your life to figure out how this should apply to you. Pursue the principle of quality closet time is not a small principle. If you want to walk with God and you want your life consumed with godliness, press in. My brother, my sister, press in. Don't stop till you've seen His dear face. Don't rest till His presence is clearly felt and you've knelt in that most holy place. Press in, my brother. Press in. He longs to come be at your side. He's waiting to fill and overwhelm with His presence in you to abide. Press in. My brother, press in. He's waiting on you and on me. On the door of our heart, He continually knocks. Won't you open and heed to His plea? Press in, my brother. Press in. Isaiah, another picture, snapshot. Isaiah was touched by that call in a persistent way. Seek God to be touched. to be changed mind, body, and soul. Press in, my brother, press in. Moses knelt before God on his knees, and the cloud of His presence descended down and gave answer to all of his pleas. Press in, my brother, press in. Men of old have gone on before, hallelujah. They sought and they wept and they waited long till His Spirit on them He did pour. Press in, my brother, press in. Don't stop till you've seen His dear face. Don't rest till His presence is clearly felt and you've knelt in that most holy place.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.